So we're going to do something really radical. First time ever. We're going to actually learn something in English together. The Kavod Rosh Hashanah, which I know that some of you have been struggling with English over the years, and we'll try our best to learn this piece in English. The Chevra in Eretz Yisrael sent me some shiur from the Bilvavi, from Rav Schwartz. Some of them are adaptations of material that's found in the Svarim, in the Svarim that we have, the Hebrew ones. And some of the shiur were translated from tapes that are not yet available in writing, were transcribed and translated. And this is an unedited manuscript. So what we're going to read is new, it's exciting, but it's unedited. And you'll see that it's, you know, that it needs some work, but it's important stuff. It's very, very important stuff. And I figured it must be Hashgacha Pratis that it just, you know, they sent it to me, and I opened up to this Torah, and I said, you know what, I think it's a good thing to do, Erev Yontif. There's so many things that we could do. But it came, and I said, let's do this. We're not going to be able to finish, but everybody on your own, you don't need me to do this with you. We're just learning it together in English. So whatever it is, you'll finish it afterwards, but it needs to be finished. But we're not going to be able to finish in this time. But you'll finish it in Mitzvah Hashem when the call is done. It won't take more than a few minutes, but let's try to do it together. And the advantage of doing something together, even though it's so understandable and in English, is that the limud is a limud that we have with each other. And I think you understand. Okay. So I think Jeff sent you the pages. You have beginning of page 25. And I want to thank Jeff and Ridian and Ralph Hertzke and the whole chevra there all of these years for the learning and making this all happen. And we should be able to continue with some good health, all of us together this coming year. Amen. All right, so you see on page 25, where it says, the hint of the shofar. On Rosh Hashanah, we have a mitzvah to blow shofar. A shofar is designed in a way that one side of its opening is narrow. That part is called the meitzar, the narrow part. When I meitzar karasika, one side of its opening is narrow, and the other opening is wide. That other opening, where the sound comes out of, is the merchav, anoni b'merchav ka. The sound of the shofar comes out from a narrow opening, but it is heard on the wide end of the opening. In other words, the Baal Tokeya blows into the narrow part, into the meitzar, and the sound comes out from the wide end, from the merchav. The Gemara states that the sound of the shofar sounds like someone crying. If what Targum even says, translates that Yom Trua, Yom Yevava is a day of crying. The sound of the shofar is a sound of crying. There's a machlokes in the Gemara about is it more staccato, short crying, or long wailing, Trua, Shvarim, and so on. But it's crying. It's a sound of crying. That is why we blow different sounds that resemble crying, the Shvarim, the Trua. These are two kinds of crying that a person exhibits. When does a person cry? When he is in pain. Obviously, there's the crying of joy as well. That's more connected to the chatzaitzus, not to the shofar. When a person is in pain, when a person feels confined by something, pain itself is something that confines. I was talking to a good friend yesterday who came here. We were discussing his medical situation, and how the pain that he's going through and all of the surgery has changed his life. And his life has become one of terrible confinement. When a person feels good and feels healthy, he's unrestrained, he's free. Suffering, pain, is a type of confinement. It brings confinement. It's a meitzar. It's a meitzar. When a person is in pain, he's crying. When a person feels confined by something, he wants Hashem to release him from his confined state. It could be a sadness, his marriage is not working out, something with the kids, his panasa, whatever it is, when a person is crying from pain, either physical pain or emotional pain, he's in a meitzar. He's in a confined state. And he's Hashem to please release me from this state of confinement that I'm in, this terrible small place of pain, of sadness, of disappointment, and so on. All of those emotions, feelings, cause a terrible sense of confinement. He wants Hashem to release him from his confined state, so he blows and hears the shofar in order to come out of his confines and reveal instead an expansion. And all, obviously, this is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomei Omazen to the truest of the entire Jewish people, that each one of us has individually this confinement. And of course, Am Yisrael is confined in Golos, and we're confined in all kinds of katnas. And the shofar is the most powerful weapon that we have to be mamshich this or of Hashem of Bamerchavka, Anoni Bamerchavka, to give us that expansiveness, to take us out of confinement, whatever that confinement is, that Meitzar is, and to bring us to a life and to a way of expansiveness. The purpose of the shofar is not just the sounds that come from it. The shofar is an expression of our soul's mission during these days. Chazal say that shofar is a lashon shapur, like the name shofar, which means beauty. Shofar means beauty. Shapru ma'aseyem, ma'aseichem. To beautify your deeds. Do tshuva. Make your life more beautiful. The Rambam writes that the shofar comes to awaken. It's the most famous Rambam probably in all of Mishnah Torah. How the shofar comes to awaken those who are slumbering. From Tadamaschem and so on, to awaken us from our state of being asleep, which is itself a level of death and a type of confinement. That's what sleep is also. Now, there are people who sleep with their eyes closed, and we sleep with their eyes open. Your whole life you could be asleep, but it's a place of confinement. Shapru ma'aseichem. Shofar is a lashon of shapru. Like Shapir Dami, Shifra, to beautify. And to wake up, it's an alarm to wake us up. The shofar is now in the place where the sound comes from, and it is wide in the openings the sound escapes from. This reflects what a person's avodah is during these days, to come out of his narrowness, to come out of narrowness, out of quarantine, out of bidud, out of narrowness and expand from his confines. So what do we mean by this? What do we mean by coming out of confinement? So I wanted to do this because we're davening very, very strong. Shmuel, they're locking things down again in Yerushalayim. That's what Shifi and Yehudai told me today. That things are closing up. The minyanim, the shuls, things are closing. We're in a terrible, terrible place of Meitzar in the city of Hashem, in Yerushalayim, and all over Eretz Yisrael. And we all believe that Yerushalayim and Yisrael is going to be potter from all of this. And there are people all that are dying. People are sick. And there's a terrible matzor that Yerushalayim is confined, and Yerushalayim is not meant to be that way. We have fast days because of the confinement of Yerushalayim. It's not meant to be that way. Yerushalayim is prozis, taste of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is meant to be without any confinement, limitless, open. So the shofar is a way out of the meitzar, of the matzar, into a way of expansiveness and openness. What do we mean by this? In the physical world, we can understand well what a confine is and what an expansion is. When a person's monthly income isn't enough to cover his expenses, this feels like he is confined. When he has adequate livelihood, Baruch Hashem, he feels widened from his confines. Ah, he can breathe. When you owe money and you can't meet your expenses, you're choking, you're confined. A person wants to escape the confines of having to live so frugally and instead to live comfortably without having to worry so much about every penny he spends. I remember when we first married, I never wanted to tell my parents the financial difficulties we were having because my father would always take care of it, and I wanted to prove that I could handle things myself. Then, of course, my father would just, without telling me, put money into my account. Because no matter what I took out, it seemed to be showing the same numbers. But I remember in those early years, not that I'm a big viewer now, you understand, but in the early years, you know, it's the worst fear to go to the grocery, because in those years I used to go shopping to help my wife out, the kids, and I would go shopping. And you want to buy it, like a Pepsi or Coke or a Diet Pepsi or something. And you have to buy like Royal Crown. You know what I mean? You remember those days? On sale, 69 cents. And you're like, your mouth is watering looking at regular Coke, because regular Coke costs $1.29. And you can get Royal Crown for 69, or the Diet Right or something like that, for 69 cents. And once or twice when I came home, I would come home anyway with the Pepsi or with the Coke. My wife would say, Marsh, what are you doing? Like, you know, you're just such a Hungarian. You can't control your spending. You know, I said, just for Shabbos, just the covered Shabbos. I hate Royal Crown Cola. Just the covered Shabbos. Yeah. It's terrible. It's terrible to live that way. And it's lots of fun for me to be able to joke about that. But there are millions and billions of people around the world who can't even get the Royal Crown. Right? It's not easy. It's terrible. And you feel like your mom is choking. You're in a prison. You're confined. It's a terrible thing. People like to be free from any confines. The lesson of the Shofar, though, is not just about escaping your confines when it comes to the physical. It is a lesson about escaping confines within our own soul. And it is upon us to understand how we can leave our confines. Because Hashem is going to let us free now. You remember that the Shofar is also blown by the Yovel, right? Across from Dvorah Ba'aretz. And Vavratim, the din is that by Yom Kippur, by Yovel, that the shofar is blown. And the shofar is a shofar of Chayrus. The shofar is used to symbolize and to bring about Chayrus, freedom, to be free, to be liberated. The shofar, Yovel. So what does it mean to escape the confines, the meitzarim of our souls. There are many ways how we can leave our confines. We'll try to go through each of them. Every person worries for himself. Now, this is a terrific, this limud is a terrific hachana for yantif, to prepare for yantif. It's very simple and straightforward. Every person worries for himself. There is no such person who can say about himself that he doesn't worry about himself. On the other hand, every person also has some caring for others. There is no person who only cares for himself his entire life and never worried about another person. Page 26. The higher level a person is on, the less he worries for himself and the more he worries for others. Some of you were together with me in Yerushalayim a few years ago in Rav Kook's. We learned it from Rav Kook on this inyan of Shir HaShirim, how there are some people whose song is only about themselves, and growing and maturing means that the song becomes not only about you, but it becomes a song that includes others. First the baby with his parents, and from the parents, siblings and relatives, and shul and community and the Jewish people and the whole world. And remember what we learned, that Rav Kook explains that the most basic love is between a chas and a kala, which is described in Shir HaShirim. And from there, a person can grow and include more in his circle of love and to become a person that's able to see more and more beyond himself. Because marriage forces a person. Anybody who gets married and continues to think only about himself, that marriage is finished. Marriage forces a person to think outside of yourself. And from there, you could begin to think about others, kids, thinking about your own kids, and so on. So to come out of your confines means to come out of your narrowness and instead expand beyond yourself. I missed the sentence on top. The less of a level he is on, the more self-absorbed he is, and he is less worried for others. Okay, third sentence. To come out of your confines means to come out of your narrowness and instead expand beyond yourself. A person has to leave his private little life and look at the world with a widened view, thinking there is such thing as the Jewish people. And there are 600,000 souls who are one collective essence. My existence is only one out of these 600,000, which those are the base souls. And of course, there are many, many more Jews than are in the world than 600,000. There would be a lot more if it were, it wouldn't have been for the Nazis and others, but there are certainly more than 600,000. And on a higher level, as we learned from Rav Kook, it means not only thinking about the Jewish people, it means thinking about the welfare of the world as well. Not just the Jewish people. To go beyond that also. To think of the well-being of all existence. Even things, even animals and plants and so on. When a person leaves his self-absorption in this way, it's like experiencing redemption in his own soul. When a person leaves self-absorption, that's the level of cheres. That's leaving the meitzar and going into a merchav. When you begin to think about others, when you begin to worry about others, that's mamash a cheres, a redemption. That's yovel. That's a certain type of. Second. Something just came up over here. Okay, that's a certain type of freedom and redemption. Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment. You hear me? You able to hear? Yeah. Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment. Hashem writes for each person on this day how much income he will make this year, what his health will be like. Right, we couldn't have imagined Blessed Rosh Hashanah when we were saying Nisana Taikif, Mi Ba'esh, Mi Ba'mayim, we got scared. No one was thinking about Mi Ba'magefa, right? Who would have thought Mi Ba'magefa? That's for the Middle Ages, the bubonic plague, the Black Death. Who would have thought, there was a Magefa a little bit, in Africa. No. Nobody here lost sleep over a couple of 100,000 people in Africa dying. Sad to say, but that's how life is. District and got on a boat and landed in Westchester and then came to the rest of the world and we such a thing. Who would have imagined a Magefa? Even a Magefa. So Rosh Hashanah is everything is being determined, and the rest of his needs. We want to have comfort in all these areas. We want to have comfort in all of these areas, but if we want to take care of our body's needs, you need to understand that it depends on a healthy soul. If our soul is stuck in a narrow confine, this narrowness will also manifest itself in our body. So if a person wants to be comfortable, he has to make sure his soul is comfortable. In other words, if you want to live comfortably and happily on a physical level, then that means you have to be emotionally and spiritually a person who's not stuck in a small place. Because you and I know you have some very, very, very rich people who are miserable, who are absolutely depressed and miserable. And people who have every physical comfort in the world. We have now the comfort of here in New York of being back in shul. What an unbelievable schus that we have to be in shul. It could have been like in other places in the world where they can't go to shul. And we're in shul. And there's still people who are angry and who are fighting and who are screaming. This is not the seat I wanted. This is not the way I wanted the shul to be. I wanted to be in the same place, and I wanted it to be the way I like it in shul and so on. If you're in a small place, listen, if you're in a narrow place, then no matter how expansive the room you're in is, you're just not happy. That's just narrow. You live in a meitzar. So if your soul is, what Rav Schwartz is explaining, is that if your soul is in a meitzar, then your physical expansiveness doesn't really help you much. There's a couple that I know that lives in Back Lawrence that they've been fighting with each other for over 50 years. Pretty consistently. There are a couple of days every now and then without fighting, but it's been pretty consistent fighting 50 years. They have a house that's like a block long, a block long. I was there once. There was some kind of a reception. It's like a block long. And they don't have any kids that live there. The kids moved out long ago. And they're really out of town. They don't really see their grandchildren. So you got these two. I don't know why they all just moved up. Oh, I guess they moved to an apartment. They have to see each other more often. So the two of them live in this mansion that's a block long. And you'd think, you know, wow, this is great. This is beautiful. And there's a huge yard with all kinds of stuff in the back. And doesn't make any difference. The fighting continues. They're unhappy. Because when you're in a place of narrowness, it doesn't make a difference how big your house is. And Gemara says that. Gemara says that about when we loved each other, we were able to be like on a it could be on the edge of a knife. And now that the love is gone, there's no place in the world that's big enough for the two of us. That's how life is. If a person succeeds in that, his body's needs will be affected as well by this. If you're living in an expansive place emotionally and spiritually, then physically, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you get rich, but you'll be okay with the apartment. You'll be okay. It'll be all right because you're not in a Meitzar. Physically, you're not in a Meitzar. You're in a Meitzar, I'm sorry. Physically, you might be in a small apartment, but you're in a very expensive place. And you could be the happiest person in the world in that little apartment. But it will also help a person have a better life and a more expensive life in physical matters as well. Because the Sfarim tell us that when a person is in a very narrow spiritual place, it affects his physical well-being at all. Also, it affects his wealth or poverty. It affects his health. We know that people make themselves mamish sick because of what's going on inside of them emotionally and spiritually. They become sick, and they become nervous and moody and. Everything in your life could fall apart. A person expands beyond himself, starting by expanding his internal world. And this slowly spreads outward to his physical body. A husband and a wife can live together in a house that can be like a narrow confine when each of them is living for themselves. When is the house a narrow confine? Why are these two fighting all the time? Because each one is thinking of himself and herself. So it's a narrow confine. Each one is living for himself. If a person only thinks about himself and only worries for himself, that is a confine. That's a meitzar. When a person understands and feels that there's another person living with him in his house, and he's involved with giving to that other person, he has left the narrow. A person comes to Rosh Hashanah, day of judgment, about himself, and he wants to be written in the Sefer HaChaim for good judgment. Is he only preparing with himself for Rosh Hashanah, or is he thinking about others too, about how he can help them come properly into Yontif? One of the chevra, dropped off in my mailbox 2 days ago an envelope that's filled with gourmet glatt gift cards to give out to some of the chevra who could use some help with the shopping for Yontif. I didn't ask him for it. But every time it's a yontif, I just find in the thing an envelope from him with these gift cards to Gourmet Glatt. He doesn't want anybody to know his name. He doesn't want anybody to know who it is, just to help. And that's the way he prepares for yontif, by thinking about other people. It's beautiful. Is he concerned for anyone, either for their physical needs or their spiritual needs? Now, Rav Schwartz is going to explain later on that there are some people who they suddenly, before Yontif, they rush to send checks to tzedakah and to give out different tzedakahs because they're only thinking about themselves. Because they scream out that, you know, Shuvah, Tefillah, Tzedakah, so what's the order? Shuva Tfilta Ma'avirnes Ro HaGzeira. So that could just be about yourself also. It's still better than not giving. But there are people who, when they give tzedakah, it's about that sentence, Ma'avirnes Ro HaGzeira. It's like, how do I, you know, I got to bribe God before Rosh Hashanah. I got to pay him off to let me out, you know, from any tzaras. I got to pay him off. So that also, as he explains later on, that also is something which is could be very, very, I mean, selfish is not such a nice word, but it has self-interest. A lot of times the giving of tzedakah is filled with one's own self-interest. And that's why the collectors and these organizations that spend thousands of dollars on putting their obscene ads into the newspapers about how give this amount of money, we have a hotline, and the Gadol Hador is going to take your, depending on how much you give, he's going to look at your paper and daven for you. How they're preying upon this fear that people have, especially before Rosh Hashanah. This fear that people have, and during a Seder Mitzvah gets increased, that if you give tzedakah to this organization, then the tzaddik is going to daven for you. And depending upon how much you give, that's how much stronger the davening will be. And then you too can merit to have a good year. All of those advertisements are addressing people who are A, fearful, afraid. Okay, cool. Everybody feels that. That's understandable. But then taking advantage of them to help those organizations by using the fear as a way to reassure them that if you send in such and such by such and such time, then you will be off the hook and you'll have a healthy year. And sometimes these newspapers, these advertisements even write, lotion like guaranteed. I don't even know. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even say such a thing. They guaranteed, and none of those tzaddikim, of course, are saying that. They're just the tzaddikim. They just ask the daven for people. They don't know how they're being taken advantage of. It's a couple of the gaboyim are getting paid off for this stuff. That's what's going on. They get a cut. I'm sorry to say, but that's how these things are operating. There's money that's given out from tzaddikim money. The tzaddik is, want me to daven? I'll daven for any Jew. But there again, what's driving this tzedakah? There's an underlying selfishness that's behind it. Again, it's still wonderful, and everybody should be rewarded with good health and a good year. But there is an element there of myself. How could I help myself? It's not purely about helping somebody else. If a person comes to Rosh Hashanah only thinking about himself, he has basically already signed for himself his decree. And you got those three dots. That's like the angel of death, the three dots. If you come to Rosh Hashanah and you're only thinking about yourself, you already signed. You signed your decree. As it says, V'chaysem yad kol adam bay. Every person signs with his own hand. V'chaysem yad kol adam bay. Every person seals his fate on this day. In other words, Hashem gives us the pen to seal our own fate. How do you seal your own decree? Aren't we in this physical world where the decree is being made in heaven? Don't we need to ascend to heaven to sign a decree? So what does it mean to sign a decree here on earth? The simple answer to this is that our soul goes to heaven at night when we sleep, and then it signs the decree. That's what it says in many sefarim. How could we sign the decree? Because the neshama goes up at night and signs the decree in Shema. But of course, on a deeper level, this is not about traveling. It's not about getting to heaven. But the depth of this matter is, as the Maggid of Mezrich explained, the way a person lives is what signs the decree. Everyone signs his own decree. How? If a person has left his confines, if a person has left his own narrow place, and his mind is very, very much on his wife, husband, kids, parents, brothers, sisters, shul, community, Jewish people, world. If a person has left his confines, his mates are, and he has expanded beyond himself, he has signed for himself a decree that he has left his confines, And once you leave your confines, then it's filled with all kinds of brachas. Because it's the confines, it's the jail cell that has the sickness, the misery, the poverty, the all of the bad stuff is in the confines. And you get out of the confines, it's a place of health and happiness and parnosa and so on. Thinking outside yourself. Look, of course, there are many reasons. Why is it that it's so important to be mefayis a person before Yom Kippur to apologize, to ask for mechila? Hashem wants us to think about the people that we haven't thought about, people that we've hurt, people that we might have ignored, and to start thinking about them. And to think about people outside of ourselves. So Hashem said that whatever tshuva you do, with all your tshuva, whatever your averus are, but when it comes to what you've done to people outside yourself, you know, you have to take care of it. You have to get out of your narrowness. You have to think about other people. And it means thinking about Kadosh Baruch Hu as well, which Rav Schwartz is going to explain later on. And that's what we learned in Rav Kook's Maimer, and there's much written about this in Rav Dessler and other Svarim, that why is it that V'ahavta Recha Kamocha, why is that the Klal Gadol B'Torah? How does V'ahavta Recha Kamocha, loving another person, how does that help you with Shabbos and Yom Tov? How does that help you with Tefillin and Tzitzis? So the Torah says, if you're a person that thinks only of yourself, that means you live in a world of sin. Because it's the selfishness, it's the narrowness that takes your focus away from thinking about Hashem. You only think about yourself. And if you have a Yetzirah for something, you have a Taiva for something, since you're the center of your universe, when you have a Taiva for something, you just want to satisfy yourself. Overcoming that Taiva means, overcoming that desire means, I'm thinking outside of myself, that there's a Kadosh Baruch. But that requires thinking outside yourself. So a person turns on the computer to check the weather, and there's some pretty little girl that pops up, and he has the choice of looking further into this, what this girl has to say and what she has to show for herself. So that's selfish. That's a selfish type. It means just thinking about satisfying yourself. And if you can't get past yourself, then you don't get to Hashem. You're selfish. The bottom line is that giving into a type is selfish. All the type is about is making yourself feel better. That's all. So I had during the summer a whole inyan with a guy that's obese, and the wife has been begging him to take care of himself on different diets, and he makes fun of it. And then she said, at least maybe you can go for a procedure. You know, they do with the stomach, to whatever. They have ways of helping a person. The guy doesn't want to do anything. So she's crying. I'm sitting with the two of them together. So she's crying. Even if you don't care about yourself, what about me and the children? And what would your parents feel like what would they feel like if you, God forbid, you're gonna drop dead like this? You're so fat. So what happens to this guy when the conversation is over and she's crying, what about me and the kids? And he's sitting there and he looks up and he sees a bag of potato chips. So if he goes for it, he's a selfish schlub. That's all. That's what she was trying to tell him. He was able to overcome that. He's able to think outside himself. Unfortunately, he gave up on himself a long time ago. That's how he got that way. But now his wife is saying, like, we don't want you to die. Like, you know, we need you around. You know, you pay the bills, you do other stuff. So we need you around. So, like, Why are you such a chazer? Why are you such a chazer? What's the matter with you? So you afterwards, and he sees the big relationships. That's the great moment of truth. We'll call it Shabbos Kodesh. That's the moment of truth, and that's really the moment of truth. Of what Rav Schwartz is talking about when it comes to signing the big book, Rosh Hashanah. And the Mizrach Maggid says, you sign it yourself. It's ben olam v'kam ha'am olam chadeiru. The way a person lives is what signs the decree. Everyone signs his own decree, the bottom of the page. How? Confines, and he has expanded beyond himself. He has signed for himself a decree that he has left his confines. If a person still remains in his own personal confines, it is as if he never heard the cipher from an inner perspective. Maybe you don't say, but he never really heard what the cipher is saying. He never heard the cipher. Page 27. If a person blows cipher and one of the openings is closed, he hasn't fulfilled his obligation of shofar. The mitzvah is only fulfilled when you blow from the narrow opening and it comes out of the wide opening. In terms of our own soul, we need to come out of our narrowness and expand beyond ourselves. What if a person comes to Rosh Hashanah and he only thinks about himself? From an inner perspective, he has not performed the purpose of this mitzvah of tkiyat shofar. There's a well-known story that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was walking on the street in Erev Yom Kippur when a certain pious individual walked by him. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter gave him a blessing, but the person looked so serious about the Yom HaDin, because it was Erev Yom Kippur, that he failed to respond shalom. He didn't give back an aleichem shalom. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is passing him by. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says to him shalom aleichem, but the guy is so deep into Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, he doesn't even answer back Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Can you imagine? He doesn't answer back. He doesn't say Aleichem Shalom to Yisrael Salanter. Yisrael Salanter remarked about this. This is not righteousness. This is not tzidkus. This is not the safe. True righteousness is when a person leaves his confines and expands beyond himself. And he isn't self-absorbed and only worrying for his private life. If it is Erev Yom Kippur and he is so absorbed in himself that he can't greet me with a Shalom Aleichem, he is missing the whole point. The whole point of Yom Kippur, the whole point of Tshuva is to break out of your confines. And this person didn't answer Shalom Aleichem, he didn't notice him. Because he's so caught up in himself. What's going to happen to him on Yom HaDin? His Tshuva. His being forgiven. So he lives in the Meitzah, which is the opposite of Yom Kippur, it's the opposite of Rosh Hashanah. There's mice like that once, they say from the, I don't remember, it's from the Kotzker, from the Chayza, one of the tzaddikim about a person who the Rabbi saw was very, very like depressed on Rosh Hashanah. And the Rabbi said to him, what's the matter with you? Why are you walking around like that? Sad on Rosh Hashanah? Sad, big yontif? What are you sad? So he says, Rabbi, what am I sad? He says, I'm sad because I know that I did all kinds of avayus and I probably am in big trouble and I'm sad and I'm nervous. So the tzaddik said to him, yeah, but most of the other people don't do avayus like you over here. They're probably going to be fine. They're probably going to be written in the book of life. You know, maybe you won't, but look at everybody else. All your friends here, they don't do Averius like you. They're going to be fine. So the guy, of course, didn't understand that the Rebbe was trying to help him get out of that place of Averius, of smallness. And to say, you're not happy. Other people are happy. So why can't you be happy with them? Because there are people that live in a very narrow place. There are people who will say, I want to be comfortable. I want to feel comfortable. Even if it's going to make hundreds of other people uncomfortable. From both sides. You know what I'm talking about. People with masks and people without masks. From both sides. The main thing is I should be comfortable. So one person says, I'm comfortable without a mask. So he'll ignore people who are frightened by that. And he'll say, what's the big deal? Even though the other person's frightened. Because it's about myself being comfortable. I'm comfortable without a mask. Then you have another guy, the one that wears the mask, and you tell him, yeah, but there are 500 people who have antibodies, and they could have them without masks. And he's angry. He says, yeah, but I'm here. Yeah, but maybe you could have them in another room where there are other people who are also wearing masks, and a place was made for you to be comfortable. Why should I have to go? Well, because there are a couple hundred that don't agree with you and feel differently. So, and there's just, you know, you or another few. So maybe you could have it in a different room. I know I'm taking a risk by putting this on the air, but that's what happens when a person can't think out of his own confines on both sides. It's the same thing with the masked marvels and the unmasked marvels. It's the same thing on both sides. Selfishness, it can be terrible selfishness. Self-absorption before Rosh Hashanah. Because you want your Hashem to be exactly the way that it's been for the last 50 years of your life. You want the exact same Baal Tefila. You want it to be the exact place. I could be that other people are uncomfortable, or other people. What's the Mayinyan? Let all of them go someplace else. I have my seat. Let them go somewhere. On either side, I'm not talking about who's right, who's wrong. I'm talking about whatever you like to wear a mask, you wear a mask. You believe in that, fine. The other one doesn't believe in masks, fine. Hashem should watch everybody. They should be healthy. Either way, I've seen unbelievable self-absorption on both sides. So I had to yell at people. Can't you put that thing over your mouth and nose for 45 minutes, for an hour or two? It makes this guy happy. But it's not, but it's ridiculous. What's the chance? It doesn't make a difference. It makes the guy happy. Do it for other people. And then I have to yell at the other ones to say, Rabbi Shalom, can't you go diving in a different room if there are hundreds of people who are totally comfortable not wearing a mask? So can't you go to another room also? And these are really nice people, all of them. Nice people. But there's a Meitzar. Listen, I'm saying about other people. I'm the same way. We all struggle with these things. Let's be honest. It's hard to get out of the Meitzar. It's hard to get out of the Meitzar. But that's the ticket to Slicha, Mechila, and Kapar. That's what we say. Mena Meitzar Karasi Ka, Anani B'merchav Ka. The answer is B'merchav Ka. That's the answer. So B'Sol Salanta says, this guy, every Yom Kippur, is walking around, all serious and the big, you know, the Yom HaDin. I pass by, you know, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta was a God of Hadar. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta passes by and he says, Shalom Aleichem. The guy doesn't even answer back, Aleichem Shalom, every Yom Kippur. Because he's so religious and he's doing so much tshuva, he can't say Aleichem Shalom. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said, you missed the whole point. You missed the whole point. Not that you missed a part. You missed the whole point. So the whole point of tshuva is getting out of yourself. Tshuva means getting out of yourself. It means returning to the deeper self of who you really are and getting out of that selfish, tiny little self, that prison that you're in with your taivas and your yetzaharas. It's all about getting out of yourself. That's all. That's what Yisrael is saying. He's missing the whole point. That's the whole point of Rosh Yom Kippur, is to get it out of the Meitzar and to get into the Merchav. That's the whole point. That's what tshuva is. That's what it means asking another person for forgiveness. Recognizing that there's somebody else in the world that I might have hurt, not might have, that I hurt, I insulted, I'm insensitive to. That's the whole point. Every person signs his own decree. The narrower a person is, the narrower his income, health, and happiness will be. And you might get some of the income, but it doesn't make a difference. It's not going to make you happy. You're just going to get into fights with your wife about that money. That's all. Because you're an unhappy person. You're a narrow person. So if you live in a narrow place, first of all, it does affect one's parnasa, and it does affect one's health. That's for sure. But even if somehow you make it out with money and you make it out healthy, you're not a happy person. You don't enjoy it. So what did it do for you? What did it do for you? You know, you got a nicer house. What did it do for you? You got a nicer car. So what? You're driving around the car the whole time, banging the steering wheel that you're angry at somebody, yelling at somebody that cut you off in the street, and you know you're ready to shoot him. So what did it do for you? You're still a small, miserable person. Your car is 2 feet longer. It doesn't make a difference if your car is 2 feet longer. You're still a nobody. You're still a cotton shabbatan. Even though your car is longer and your house is bigger, who are you? You're a midget. So what did you get? I don't mean to insult any midgets out there. What did you get from it? Nothing. Because being in that bigger place is a matter of the shayfer of menametzah karasika anani b'merchav ka. When you're in a place of archava, that's what the shayfer is. Tka b'shayfer god l'cheirusayna. B'shayfer god l'cheirusayna. Mitzvah, I'll talk about it a little bit over Yontif. I think I'll talk about it maybe 2 minutes. I should talk about it because we're not blowing the shofar on Shabbos. That's a hard thing to deal with, not having the shofar on Shabbos. Shabbos is so big, the whole Shabbos is a shofar. You don't need the shofar on Shabbos. So why is it that when there was a Beis HaMikdash, they did blow the shofar on Shabbos? That's a question. It's a magnet. There's a lot to talk about. It's not for now. But Shabbos is so big. Shabbos is like a huge shofar. It's a shofar God. You don't need the regular shofar. Because shofar and Shabbos are both tickets out of smallness. Shabbos is really bigger. That's why it's doicha the shofar. Shabbos is so big that a person can get out of the smallness of the 6 days of the week. And Shabbos, when Rosh Hashanah comes out of Shabbos, you don't need to blow the shofar. You're already in that place. You're already in a big place. You're already in the merchav. Because Shabbos is the biggest harchav there is Shabbos. Biggest harchav is Shabbos. Even though Shabbos is a tchum Shabbos, you're not allowed to travel. Maybe I'll talk about that tomorrow. How can a person expand beyond himself? The middle of the page, 27. Wow, doing much less than I thought I would do. Okay. I figured his English is going to go fast. How can a person expand beyond himself? He has to realize that there is no such thing as a private life. What does that mean? All of us enjoy privacy, some more than others. The Rebbe of Zusha of Anapoli married to the Sieli Navi, who told him the following Chazal state, the Mashiach will not come until all of the Proteus, all of the Prutus coins from every while will be used up. Asha tichle prutam and a kiss. It's a famous verse from the Rebbe of Zusha. I've said it many times over the years. One of the signs of Mashiach is that there won't be a penny left, and there'll be great poverty in the world. Asha tichle prutam and a kiss. But the Rebbe of Zusha said this to Remez. Asha tichle pruta, a penny, is a lashon of Proteus, self-absorption, privacy. Asha tichle Prat, Achatichla Pruta, my, until finally that need that I have for selfishness and self-absorption will go away. Minha kiss, from that which is covering me and preventing me from expanding. Kiss is a pocket, it means a covering. Achatichla Pruta, minha kiss. Pratyas can also mean private. The real depth behind Mashiach hasn't come yet is because every person is worrying only for himself. Mashiach won't come until we leave that state of being pratim that are covered and separated from the rest of Am Yisrael and become people who are klolim, anshei klal. That's why the Musa Svarim talks so much about how the different ways that a person could be zoich in the din. What can we do to that we should be zeiche the din? And one of the most powerful eitzes that you find in the Musa Svarim is to do things for other people. Like right now, these past couple of weeks, there have been chevra in the shul that have been spending, I don't like 14, 15 hours a day getting the shul set up for Rosh Hashanah. No, that's not everybody's way to do it, but these guys, you heard there were guys that went last Shabbos, they drove up to the Dov's camp to be able to get Naron Kodesh and the Bima to bring back down. Surreal called them on the phone and said, guys, we need to get Aron and Bima and somebody needs to go upstate to go to the camp to get it from the camp where we can get it because we couldn't get anywhere. And these two guys said, on the spot, we're going. That was it. And they went, they rented a thing, you know, what's it called, you know, to schlep, a truck or something, and they U-Haul, and they went upstate, just like that. When I thanked them, it took their whole day. They took off from work. Going back and forth and loading, I said, God, it's unbelievable. He said, yeah, we were asked to do it, and we're happy. That's unbelievable. The Sram said there's no other bigger way to be zechen than to be mezak of the rabbim, helping with the shul, the seeding, the planning. You got Bali Tfila, this Rosh Hashanah, the Bali Tfila, you know, they're davening, it's hard. They're davening more than used to davening because they're going to go inside, they're going to go to the tent, and they're davening to, it's hard. And they're pushing themselves to practice and to be able to do it, to make the Olam, you know, that there should be Bali Tfila. All of the, when you're doing something for the tzibur, you're going out of yourself. And you have Jews like that. That they live all the time with trying to help other people, thinking about other people, thinking about the shul. I don't want to start saying names. You know, you always leave out and get in trouble. You pass by 3 a.m. There are guys from the shul that are handling in the tent. 3 a.m. They're busy there, fixing things up. 3 a.m. It's, and they're not doing it because they want to be zaych in the din. But the Svarim say, this is why, how does that work? Because you're taking the prat out of the kiss. You're taking yourself out of the world of that private small world, and your own small world. It could be the different areas that, you know, could have aggravation in your own small world. But you're getting out of that small place, and you're going to the merchav of helping the whole shul, of helping other people. There's no greater way to achieve Zikr HaDin. There's no greater way to be Zaychen HaDin. And that's what the Rebbe was actually saying. Mashiach hasn't come because we're stuck in our pockets in small places. Mashiach hasn't come. Mashiach hasn't come yet because every person is worrying only for himself. People will for sure react with a question. Is this the only reason Mashiach hasn't come yet? He hasn't come because there are still many people who aren't keeping mitzvahs. And even those who fulfill the mitzvahs aren't doing so perfectly. We can make a long list of all the problems in this generation. But if a person wouldn't be thinking only of himself, he would be serving Hashem perfectly. And this is what I was talking about before. A person commits a sin not because he wants to do something good for others, but because he only cared for himself at the moment. That's where sin comes from. Self-satisfaction. Lashon Hara is a terrible thing to say. So why do we say it? Somehow it gives you some satisfaction to say something bad about that person. It's satisfying. It's terrible. It's got all. I've run so many avarice when you say a word of Lashon Hara. What could I do? Maybe what could you do? Don't do it. It's the same thing like you tell the obese guy not to have the potato chip. If you only care about yourself, you just go on with the Lashon Hara. Because that satisfies you. Whatever that satisfaction is, it happens that Lashon Hara is a strange type of satisfaction. But it's whatever it is, there's a certain geshmak. So it's sin, chait is all about indulgence. It's all about indulgence. I mean, intentional sin. It's all about indulgence. It's about taking what you can get. You have a taiva. It's about indulging. But you see yourself as being the most generous person in the world because you give tons of tzedakah. You give a lift to somebody. Whatever you do, you're a nice guy. So why are you such a ball of virus? So in this area of your life, you've chosen to satisfy yourself, to indulge. You are a nice guy, but you're selfish. But I'm not selfish. I give lots of money to tzedakah. That's good. That's good. But if you're indulging in chait, it means that your life is essentially about taking it for yourself, about satisfying yourself. And it could be that a lot of the stuff that you're giving is just a way to make yourself feel better, or to make yourself innocent in God's eyes or something. Could be. But if a person wouldn't be thinking only of himself, he would be serving Hashem perfectly. A person commits a sin not because he wants to do something good for others, but only because he cared for himself at the moment. He cheated on business to make a good deal. Why? Why did he cheat in business? He knows that you're not allowed to. Why did he cheat? He only cared about himself at that moment, because at that moment, if he cheats, he can make an extra couple of $1,000. That's all. He might pat himself on the back that he gives ma'aser up until a fifth of the money, and he might even give half of his money to tzedakah. But that still doesn't erase the sin of stealing. The reason why he sinned was because he only worried for himself, and thus he wanted some pleasure. That's what that was about. Getting for himself, getting some pleasure. Page 28. If a person erases his private life, he wouldn't come to commit a sin. If a person would be able to get out of himself, he would get out of the meitzar, go to the merchav, he wouldn't do any aveiros. A person only sins because his yetzar convinced him that it'll be good for him to do so. In other words, just worry about yourself. When we listen to the yetzar, we're just worrying about ourselves. We want to satisfy ourselves. The yetzar says, don't worry about it. Just satisfy yourself. That's the yetzar. Satisfy yourself. It seems simply that to get rid of our private life means to have a positive attitude towards others. To get more stuck, it really means much more than that. If a person reflects about his life in a true and deep way, he will conclude with absolute simple clarity. The root of all problems is when a person only thinks and worries about himself. Sometimes a person isn't necessarily having a forbidden thought, but sometimes a person commits a sin simply because all he thought about was himself and satisfying himself. Satisfying himself. Lev Chaim writes in the introduction, a person was not created except to help others. That's why we created, is to go beyond ourselves, to get out of the narrow confines of our lives. If that would be a person's perspective in whatever he does, he would ask himself each time, is what I'm doing now for myself or in order to help others? When a person eats something with a questionable haksha, what is the real reason that he did so? Now you're kosher, you keep kosher. Why would you eat something that has the questionable haksha? The answer is, I like it. I want it. So it's about yourself. But he still must try to balance his needs with others' needs. The Gemara says one should combine shalom lishma, lishma. And he goes on to give a few examples. So, Chevra, we're not able to finish, but each one of you can finish if you just take now another 5 minutes and finish up. And it would be a good thing to use this, in my opinion, it would be a good thing to use this as material for a Divrei Torah conversation around the Yontif table, the Shabbos table, because there's a lot to talk about. We have to sensitize our kids and ourselves. There's a lot to talk about. Okay. I don't know if I'm... Tomorrow there are no shiurim. My shiurim, the regular shiurim, are of Yontif. So I want to wish each and every one of you all of the families and all of the community and all of Am Yisrael. We should be Zochem et Shem to be Tzaddikim, each and every one of us, all of Am Yisrael should be ridden. The things that are going on, and it looks like things are winding down. Hashem should help. That it should be, the gula should be in a way that's easy, that's without hurt or anybody getting sick. The gula is coming. It should be in a way that hurt and everybody.
Tivachim
Tayva. Tivachim Tayva, good to go.